Sangeeta, thank you for joining me today on Pop Culture Unplugged.
Thanks for having me, Elias. I'm looking forward to it. I like a
Exciting
good
time.
conversation.
There we go. Exciting times too. You've been I was doing research on you. You've been busy all over the place with hosting shows and fitness and health, and you've done a little bit of everything, let's just say.
It's a lot, but I'm getting through it.
So your career, it's been amazing so far. I've noticed you went from electrical engineering to hosting the shows like ET Canada, Home to Win, Love and Translation on TLC. I gotta know what you went from like this side of the world into entertainment.
How does that even happen? I
How does
know.
that
It's
even happen? That's
how
I
does
need
it
to
even
know. How
happen?
does that even happen?
Well, it was the funniest story. When I did apply for university, I did apply for engineering and journalism. And it was one of those conversations I had with my dad. And he's like, well, where are you going to make a living? Where are you going to be okay on your own? And I'm like, engineering. He's like, yeah, you love math and science. Get into the engineering world. See how that's going to go for you. And it was the right decision. It made me think in a 3D world. When you become an engineer, sure, you learn all the math and sciences and how to do things, but it really teaches you how to think about life and the way you approach life. And with that in the background, I was working at nighttime, volunteering on a television show. So I had two different lives, and I was doing a show called Toronto Living. And it was the moment I met Brad Pitt on a red carpet that changed everything for me. I was pregnant at the time, and I yell out, I'm cold and I'm pregnant. And he walks over and holds my hand, and I'm like, oh my God, Brad Pitt's holding my hand. And I'm like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And that kind of changed everything. And I went with the flow and I did weather. And that's where kind of led my life into television.
You mentioned your parents told you, you should be going to school, like you said, for like engineering, backup plan, everything. When you told them, right, I'm going the other way around, what was their reaction? What did they say to you?
They said, yeah, go for it. It was, they knew I had this foundation. If anything were to not work out for me, I would be able to go back to engineering and be okay. My dad always told us to be independent. He had three daughters and one son, and he just wanted to us be successful on our own. And I'm glad he said that to me when I originally went to him.
Was the goal always like, like hosting a show or being behind the scenes? What was like the at first when you first started jumping into this?
Oh, dude, I was just excited to be on television. I was in a pageant and I was a spokesperson for them. I didn't win. I think I was third runner up or something like that. But that experience kind of taught me this. I really did like it. I love what was happening and it just kept going. I think the passion was there and I'm like, how is this going to happen? So anything that came towards me, an opportunity, I just lived it. So the idea that I was able to end up hosting an entertainment show, a national entertainment show in Canada, is I still don't believe that actually happened. And all the experiences I've had in the last 10 years, it blows my mind. So I think because I didn't go into this career, it wasn't a perspective that I had. It wasn't something I was manifesting. It was me trying to enjoy the ride.
So now, while you're still going on this ride, what's the goal? Do you have any other goals you set yourself that you want to try to accomplish in the industry?
Yeah, so I just recently did a show, a reality show called Love and Translation on TLC. And this is my first American television. So I've done a lot in Canada. I've done a lot of shows. I've done it all. And so now I'm tapping into the American market. And it's also teaching me to now live my passion to the fullest. And that means creating my own content. It's all nerve-wracking, it's risky, but I think this all happened for a reason because it's always been behind. Back of my head, right? And it's like, when is it the right time? And I think this is it. I think this is the right time. I'm going to call this year my learning year and try to develop. And it's a scary place to be. It's almost like being an entrepreneur, but I'm taking every step at a time, talking to people, learning from all the experts. I'm lucky I have access to so many great people and really figuring it out. But I think that's what I kind of manifested is to do something that belongs to me, and maybe this is it.
How were you approached for this series?
How was my approach for Love and Translation?
Yeah, how were you? Was it like an audition, or did you get a call? Have you worked with somebody before? They said, "Hey, we have this great idea for the show. We want you on." How did that happen?
So someone recommended me to Sharp Entertainment, who was creating the show. And it was one of those calls I had on Zoom. And I think I just washed my hair and I was in a towel, and there was like 12 people on this call, and they knew everything about me. And It was so fascinating to hear how they saw me as the host of the show. So they already decided that they wanted me to do this.
Okay.
And when they told me about the experiment, that's the social experiment, I was like, this is perfect. Because I love, as an engineer, you want to see things succeed. And this was it, this social experiment. I wanted to see if it actually works. And I thought, this is going to be fun. This is something I haven't done yet. And that's the other thing, Elias, is I love to try new things. So this was great for me to get into. And that's how it started. And then a few months after, I was in Las Arenas in Dominican Republic shooting the show for 3.5 weeks during COVID. And it was just a blast.
How was this show described to you at first? Because it's a unique concept to the show.
That's a really good question, because I'm like, I don't fully get it. Like, what is actually going to happen? And then when they said that they're going to have translators, that's when I finally said, this makes sense. Like, okay, so they can't communicate with each other, but the women could communicate with each other and I could communicate with them, which is brilliant, you know, and to the idea of not having language, can you fall in love? And so the fact is 90% of our communication is nonverbal. And if you think about that, this show is exactly proving that it is. And so I can't tell you what happens at the end, but let's just say there is some success. So the fact that this really does resonate just with people in general, like every day when you're walking down the street, how do you communicate? Or when you're, you know, walking in and seeing your partner, is it that touch that makes you say, I love you? You don't have to actually say the words. And it's fun to see how the guys try to figure out how to communicate with them without the translators. American men, even Canadian men, tend to think that if you slow down a word, they would understand it. I'm like, no, we don't do that. It's the same word. Or them dancing or whatever it is, but it is fun to watch. And the experiments were so much fun to actually see them actually falling in love when it came to eye gazing or, you know, the touch. So all of that, it was really cool to be there as the host to watch it unfold.
As a host, what do you think was like the biggest challenge with the show and rewards hosting the show also?
Yeah, so I think the challenges was, again, for the guys to really thought they were understanding what the girls were trying to say. And the whole conversation is completely not right. There was a moment when one of the girls goes into their room and they thought that she was there to fight with them when really she was just being funny. She thought she was doing a little skit. And that doesn't come out until they finally get the translators and they realize, oh my gosh, we completely not disowned her, but completely had the wrong idea of her. And so I felt bad that way. And it's like, you know, and it's that miscommunication. That's not the greatest part. As the host and being on that side, again, watching them do these experiments and actually fall in love, there's a point where there's one person who's gazing into one of the girls' eyes and they start crying. And it's like they have this soulful connection happening. And also being the mother of the group, where they were able to come to me if they weren't feeling great and having conversations and asking me, like, how do you have 20 years of marriage? Like, how does that work? And so they felt this comfort with me where they can come to me anytime they needed.
I know you said you can't tell us that much about the season finale that's come up in a few days, but can you tease anything about it?
Can I wink? I don't know. I was happy. I was happy with the results.
There you go. So I bet you we're off the air too. You know, you post a lot of things on Instagram and everything. Your recent health journey, you were diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things about social media and the power of social media, there's the negatives and positives, but one of the positives is being able to use your voice. And I built this incredible community on my social page, which has been uplifting for me, especially in the last 8 months since I've been dealing with this cancer scare. So I am still going through it and got the cancer out. Unfortunately, it leaked into my blood vessels, which means I have to do another surgery and then radiation after. But I've learned a lot through this process because I didn't know this existed, this type of cancer that I got. It was a rare type of thyroid cancer. And I talked about the surgery and now I'm working with the hospital to get more funding so women can get this type of surgery where you don't get a scar. A lot of people didn't know about it. So using my voice, talking about my experience has led me to create more education, which has been pretty incredible. And that's kind of what keeps me going, right? I can't fall into that space where it's that negative space. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have cancer. Rather than that, it's more like, how can I help with my story? So yeah, I'm still going through it, but I'm feeling fantastic.
How do you like motivate yourself also to try like to not think about it while you're going through this?
Yeah, so I work out. Okay. I love weightlifting. I've been doing it for almost 13 years consistently. And that space really takes me to a positive energy. I don't know what it is about lifting that just gets me just so focused on that. And yeah. So if I'm on the bed and I'm sleeping, I just don't want to get out. I tell myself, just get yourself to the gym. You're going to feel so much better. And sometimes I live that moment. If it means me crying and taking a moment and living it, I'll do that. And then I tell myself, wash that energy away, get up and start feeling the better side of yourself. And so that's kind of what I trained myself to do. And no, I do have those moments where I just don't want to, you know, be there and just but then I know I have all these other options, and being a mother of two daughters, that motivates you more than anything else.
Isn't it great how kids can motivate you? I have two kids myself, and it's like, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't know what to do. I would feel lost, to be honest.
How old are your kids?
I have a daughter that's 9 and my son is 6.
Oh, yeah. You're in the fun phase. I'm in the 17 and 14 age, and let's talk about boys and driving and, you know, leaving the house, and it's fun, but you live your life for your kids.
That's right. And now with this working out and everything, is this how you started that whole hashtag Fitness Tuesday?
Yeah. So I think it started like 10 years ago, and every Tuesday you will get a fitness video from me. It was actually someone who said to me, what inspires you? What is your motivation? I go fitness. And I realized, and especially in the South Asian community and mothers in general, we forget to put ourselves as a priority. And so I took this angle and said, you know what, I'm going to make women realize they are a priority. You are allowed to live your life. You are allowed to be happy. You are allowed to do fitness. And that's how it all started. And now I do challenges with my husband, and people send me all these weird challenges, and I'll start doing that. And it's evolved in its own way. But I love the fact that people use the hashtag Fitness Tuesday. I'm like, we love your Fitness Tuesday. I'm like, okay, it's become a thing now. And it's great. And it really was there to show women that it is possible to have it all.
Amazing. I guess you got to do the merch next.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to talk to The Rock about that. See how he did it all.
Last question. Quote that you live by every day. Is there a certain quote that you live by?
Well, I have a mantra, and that mantra is, if I talk to someone new every day, I'm going to learn something new every day. So talking to you today, I'm going to learn something new today. And that's where my education comes from. And being in this job has let me meet so many incredible people around the world. And that's what fuels me. So that's my mantra. And the quote I live by is like, I guess it has to be that someone else's opinion of you is none of my business. You know, I have to live life for myself. It's not about what other people think. Again, it has nothing to do with me, how you feel. So I think that's the other one. And that's a hard one, especially with teenage girls who are like, what are you thinking? What are they saying? And I'm trying to instill that in them as well.
I mean, that's a great tip, because even with adults, sometimes you know, there's always noise in the back, always noise in the background. That's what I always tell people. Yeah. You just got to ignore it.
How do you do that? Like, especially being this business, right?
And I do the podcast thing on the side. I work a full-time job, but this has been just something I've always loved doing. And when I have time to do it between the kids and everything and the wife watching the kids, I jump right on and I do a couple of interviews.
Good for you, man. That's amazing. How you live life.
That's there how you do it. You got to grind away. That's what I tell people.
Grind away. We're all grinding. It's great. Right.
Sangeeta, how can the viewers now find you on social media, keep up with you, with your journey, with the hosting and everything?
Oh, Lord, I don't even know what my handle is. What is it? Sangeeta Dapatel.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is, but I gave you a follow a couple days ago.
Yeah. So follow me on Sangeeta.Patel, and I think it's Sangeeta_Patel on X. And this is Sangeeta Patel on TikTok. I don't know what my YouTube page is, hopefully if you could just Google me, you'll find me.
Amazing. I want to thank you for giving me a few minutes. Good luck with everything. And let's get you back on with the next project.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.